Blog Talk.
Better grab everything I can.
Appropriate song, right?
You're going to want to see this. This is going to be good.
Francis!
What?
Grabbing pills. Grabbing pills.
Grabbing pills.
Pills here!
Grabbing pills.
Woo!
Grabbing pills.
Yeah!
Grabbing pills. Peel, peel, peel.
Nice, nice.
Damn
nice,
straight.
Nice.
Oh!
Nice, nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh!
I do wish
nice,
I could stop
nice.
Because that's important.
Nice, nice.
Grab everything I can.
GLaDOS, stop it. Stop it. Stop, GLaDOS. Wow, she is in full
going crazy today.
Oh, you're saying hi. I don't know where Jay is. He wasn't here yesterday, not even at night. It's very odd.
Where is our Jay? I'm a little worried.
What is this, day number two? Yeah, we didn't hear from him yesterday. We haven't heard from him for almost 3 days now.
No.
That's very, very scary, Jay.
Jay, are you okay? We need to know.
Are you alive? Do I need to get in the Batmobile and roll that way?
The Batmobile.
But Horace is here. Boobies.
Horace. Boobies. Boobies.
Good morning. You are listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. You wanna intro? Because I'm full of vim and vigor.
Full of what?
Vim and vigor. This 5-hour energy just hit my system, like, literally as soon as I said that.
Woo! All right. Yeah, because there are some I can't talk. I'm on medication. Forgive me. All right. As y'all can hear, as I'm stifling. GamePolitics.com this morning. Apparently, there are some upset gamers.
Is it about that whole
Catwoman
DLC? Yes.
Yes. All right. So apparently there are DLC problems in Arkham City. They say what we assume is a small amount of gamers are experiencing some trouble with the Catwoman DLC code in the retail version of Batman Arkham City, according to complaints by some consumers in both North America and the United Kingdom. The retail box seems to be missing the code. See, this is why you do not put the code in. There are some sneaky, nasty people out there.
Mm-hmm. Bad gamers.
Uh-huh. Yes. Gamers in North America have been complaining about missing codes since the game launched there earlier this week, and now UK gamers are joining the rising chorus of complaints.
Ooh, earlier, ugly.
Yeah. Earlier today, a video game employee tweeted that his copy of the game purchased through GameStop UK was missing the DLC code. GameStop, are you selling the codes again? Because, you know, didn't we just have this issue?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Right. So both GameSpot UK and Warner Brothers declined comment, at least when it comes to problems in the UK. The company did issue the following statement earlier today regarding problems in the US and Canada. They said, since Tuesday's incredibly successful launch of Batman Arkham City in North America, our customer support team has received a very small number of calls, emails, less than 0.5% of total units sold, regarding Catwoman codes either being invalid or not included in the game packaging. While the number of affected versions is very small, WB Games apologizes for any inconvenience this has caused, and we are committed to getting these issues resolved as quickly as possible. They say all who are experiencing any issues with the game are requested to contact WB Games Customer Service Department by calling, are you ready for this? Got a pen? 410-568-3680. Or by emailing them at support@wbgames.com. Or there is a link to their community forums, which is community.batmanarkhamcity.com/support.
You know, we did not ask for a copy of this. Obviously, we tell you guys, we kind of steer clear of the larger titles. Every once in a while, if they force them upon us, we take them. Mm-hmm. However, we were talking about this last night, how Catwoman was almost an afterthought. Seems like, even though they made a big deal about her.
Yeah.
Even we got a lot of PR mentioning her specifically because we're a female gamer site. Somebody asked last night, how do we know? Sometimes we know when they give us stuff, it's for us specifically, or they're ignoring us specifically. And amazingly enough, over at VentureBeat, they've done a review, and it's all about her. She's basically stealing the show. So I'm going to tell you, Warner Brothers Interactive, you might want to reconsider giving her her own game. I know the first one did horrible, and it had nothing to do with Halle Berry, contrary to what you guys are believing.
Halle Berry's hot. How would it have anything to do with her?
Well, the movie itself ran into some problems. The person that was doing the soundtrack does all the soundtracks for the superhero movies, and his name is Graeme Revell. And he's done soundtracks for The Craft, and he did Spawn. He's done the newest Batman, The Dark. No, he didn't do The Dark Knight. But those type of movies, anything that had to do with Todd McFarlane. Some people are like, I didn't know you knew who those. Yeah, I know who Todd is. But he does, you know, the heavy hitting, the guitar riffs, the stuff that, you know, you're like, this is good. Well, I don't know what happened, but he was originally doing the soundtrack, and then they decided to pull someone else in who thought it would be better to use R&B type music, which you just don't do when you're doing a superhero movie. They have to have the heavy, angry guitar riffs so that when they're kicking, the people feel it. So that was strike one. Strike two is some of the dialogue, I believe, got changed. And somebody can go look this up and verify it. I want to say Joss Whedon wrote some dialogue, and they always misinterpret him. And that also might be an X-Men thing, her dialogue there. But anyway, some of it got to be campy because of the person writing it. So it has nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
But they blame her, of course. And the game would have been so much better had they allowed you to kill people. I'm sorry. I know Catwoman was not a murderer, but knocking them out and having them get back up and constantly fighting was just not fun.
Yeah.
After a while, you know, you're fighting and you get everybody down, and then two or three of them get back up. You spend too long in an area. So it's not her fault. That's the designer's. So I think in this instance, maybe we need to revisit that. Maybe you need to think about giving this Catwoman her own game, because apparently she is kicking all kinds of booty and taking names. And all she's got is a small piece. I was also pleasantly surprised to find out that the people from the Batman TV show, the original one from the 90s, not this new crap that comes on, are reprising their voices, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. Everybody knows who Mark Hamill is, right?
No.
Ginger, and you call yourself a Star Wars fan. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, hello.
Oh, my God.
He's the Joker in the cartoon version. And for the love of God.
Wait a minute, I know this name. I know I do.
No, young Luke. And for the love of God, ladies, I know Kevin Conroy's voice sounds like he is the hottest of hotness. Please don't just don't look at his picture ever. Don't do that to yourself. He's got a hot voice, but no. Don't ever look at him. Don't consider yourself warned. But anyway, so these people reprise their voices. I don't think they got the person that did Harley Quinn or any of the other ones. They're saying some of them sound kind of so, but it's, the reviews are all pointing to her being the one that's taking up all the air in Arkham City.
Awesome.
I say
way to go, Catwoman.
Go, girl, go.
Uh-huh.
And that was not my story, by the way. I just wanted to mention it because I saw it. What I do want to tell you is, you know how everybody out there is looking forward to their Doom 4. Oh, Doom 4. There is no Doom 4.
Mm-hmm. No Doom 4? What
yes.
happened?
According to Eurogamer, Bethesda said, it is indefinitely postponed.
Oh, that's not good.
Yes, it's the Doom 4 rumor. Games are done when they are done, and no title under development at ID has been postponed indefinitely or otherwise, is what they're saying. But, yeah, nobody knows.
Wow, that's no Doom 4. Sorry, folks. Not happening.
At least not soon. There's also rumors that they were saying as soon as Rage had shipped, they were going to start working. So nobody, it's not certain one way or the other. The studio that is actually controlling all of this is actually here in Texas. That's right. We said Texas. ZeniMax Bethesda in Dallas, Texas. So nobody really knows. We just know you're not getting any Doom anytime soon. Just wait.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll pick it up. Or maybe you guys, if you put up enough fuss, just maybe. Horace is like, Catwoman, Pwn's wrong. No, Catwoman is owning Arkham City. Nobody said anything about Batman.
Nobody.
All about her. It's been about her since they said DL. She's DLC. What? I thought she was in it.
Yeah.
So this,
all right.
Interesting. Okay. Continue, madam. Continue.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I was like, I know I had it. Where'd it go? In honor of GTA 3 Anniversary Weekend, join us for Friday's special GTA multiplayer event on PSN with giveaways. Oh yeah, apparently there is, I say us, but I mean them, there is some kind of big Anniversary Weekend coming up. Alright, what have we got? In honor of Grand Theft Auto 3's 10-year Anniversary Weekend, has it been 10 years? Wow. Join us later today for a special Grand Theft Auto 4 Complete Edition Social Club multiplayer event on PSN. The latest event in the fall series calendar. While we're playing from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. GMT, you'll have the chance to enter to win the grand prize sweepstakes, a deluxe Grand Theft Auto 3 anniversary prize pack, including two hand-painted, limited edition, and individually numbered custom Grand Theft Auto PlayStation 3 controllers, complete with a laser-cut Rockstar Insignia home button. That sounds hot. One GTA 3 Anniversary Limited Edition Claude action figure. One Grand Theft Auto 3 mug complete with brass knuckles for the handle. Oh, that's hot. Two Grand Theft Auto t-shirts and assorted Grand Theft Auto and Rockstar stickers. The shirts and mugs are coming soon to the Rockstar warehouse, and the Claude action figure is currently available for pre-order, but one lucky Social Club member will walk away with all of the above with our compliments.
Ooh.
Plus, yes. Plus 20 runner-up winners will get a prize pack with a shirt, mug, and stickers. To enter on the multiplayer events page, have a look under the live video stream and chat for sweepstakes entry. Type in your details, submit, and that's it. All right, so what else got? While we Rockstars will be playing and live streaming on PSN, some of them will be on Xbox Live, so feel free to join them on either platform. We've got GWiz from GTAWH.com. Who is his gamer tag is GTAWH. Adam CS, his gamer tag is Adam CSX. Zidane, who is KCVVA, so KCCASEYVCHEVA. And then we got Cy as well from iGrandTheftAuto.com, whose ID is, oh, sorry, the PSN ID is Psycopsy, PSYCOPSY. All fan site admins and community members are absolutely welcome to join in on the action. So let us know in the comments if you'll be participating, they say. All right. What have we got? Official Rockstar PSN IDs are Play Rockstar 10, 11, 12, and 13 if you want to add those as well. And they say, finding us in game, where's Rockstar? Pay attention to the live chat on the Social Club multiplayer events page. We'll announce where we're at in there. We'll begin in Grand Theft Auto 4 in GTA Race and later progress
what?
Into two episodes.
Oh, God, now I want to do it. I love me some GTA 4. It's crap.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and also they've got it set up so that you can get a partner. And I have this, I'm pretty sure. I'll go check in a second. I'm pretty sure I've already linked this up on. Yes, I have. This is up on GameMatrix.com, and it's even got a way for you to find partners. So it has all these links, all these names, and everything you need over at GameMatrix.com this morning. So go check it out.
But we don't have a PSN, so our PS.
Yeah,
PS4.
Yeah, there you
go. It's a PS4. That's coming. All right.
Somebody should send us one.
Yeah, you guys out there that downloaded the new iOS 5, which I have not to my iPad, should probably sit up and pay attention. You know that little smart cover thing business that they're telling you about?
Uh-huh.
Supposed to keep your iPad safe by enabling the passcode protection feature?
Yeah.
Well, the Apple blog 9to5Mac, who is citing a German site, also VentureBeat, is reporting that a security flaw allows anyone with the Apple smart covers to gain access to the device, giving them free reign to all your emails, your Facebook, your Twitter. Climbing in your window, snatching your Facebooks up, your Twitter, your mobile bank account,
that
your apps.
That is nuts. Wow. I don't like this.
How this works, let me explain to you. The flaw can be exploited on a locked iPad 2 by simply holding down the power button, which will eventually prompt you to slide a horizontal scroll button to turn off the device. You guys will recognize this if you have an iPad. With the power button off and the screen still up, you would just close the little smart cover, and when you lift it up again, the power off screen is still present. But clicking on cancel does what? Brings you back to the home screen, thus bypassing the need to enter the correct password. Mm-hmm. Here they're saying the trigger seems to be when the iPad is put to sleep or locked, which cannot be done by clicking the power button again. However, the iPad 2 can get around this feature because it uses magnet sensors from the smart cover to lock the device when the cover is on and unlock it when taken off.
Since the first generation iPad isn't compatible with smart covers, it doesn't suffer from the flaw. See, you all wanted to update and you didn't need to. Some iPad owners are reporting that the security exploit isn't limited to the iOS and will also work on version 4.3 of the operating system. I do not know. I do not have one of these lovely smart covers, but I do know there are ways to get around it even without the smart cover, which I have not mentioned. Probably should write that up at some point. Presumably, they're saying Apple will fix the issue in the next iOS update, which is due out anytime now. In the meantime, if you're worried about your iPad 2 getting compromised before the update is released, there is a temporary solution. 9to5 Mac is pointing out iPad owners can disable the smart cover locking unlocking function found in the settings app under the general tab. Yeah. Be careful, peoples.
Another way to keep from happening, turn the thing off.
Well, I say just keep it with you.
Yeah, that too.
That's why my new purse is big enough to hold the iPad, and I'm going to keep it right under my arm because that's how I roll. I got my bag right under, just right.
That is a hot purse, by the way.
Oh, no, not that one.
Not that one?
Okay. I didn't see you picture my other one. I got two yesterday. Girl, they were on sale for $14.99. Okay, anyway.
I may have to go back to the store. I saw an actual Sackboy purse.
This one's a Mandani. Let me smell it. Oh, yeah.
That's so hot.
I love the smell of new purse in the morning. Okay, go ahead.
All right, GamePolitics.com this morning. Group uses Justin Bieber to counter anti-piracy bill.
You're kidding me, right?
No, I'm not. I wish I were. Using Justin Bieber, of all people, as a focal point for their message on advocacy group has created a campaign to warn U.S. citizens of the dangers found in an anti-piracy bill pending in the Senate. The bill, which was approved in the Senate Judiciary Committee, approved the bill in June, would make it a felony for users to post unlicensed unlicensed content online 10 times in 180 days. The bill is backed by the Recording Industry Association of America, the Motion Picture Association of America, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So why use Justin Bieber for the campaign? Because, as the group points out, Justin Bieber began his career by posting YouTube videos of himself singing other people's songs. Under the proposed law, he'd do 5 years in prison. Of course, realistically, Justin Bieber wouldn't spend 5 years in prison because he's a minor, but you do get the point. Fight for the Future claimed in a press release those videos are still on the internet. So if Bieber doesn't pull them all down right away, he could be prosecuted and sent to the slammer for 5 years on felony charges. The bill, sponsored by Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat from Minnesota, says... Oh, good Lord, I cannot talk. The bill, sponsored by Senator Amy Klobuchar, would make it a felony for users to post unlicensed content online 10 times in 180 days. The bill is strongly supported by the usual suspects, the Recording Industry Association of America, the Motion Picture Association of America, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Linda Zakula, a spokesman for Senator Klobuchar, tells The Hill that this bill would not send Justin Bieber to jail. Linden says the bill language specifically targets people who willfully engage in copyright infringement for commercial advantage or private financial gain. The bill does not criminalize uploading videos to YouTube or streaming videos at home. Fight for the Future disagrees. What's genuinely troubling is that this bill applies to a massive slice of social media activity. This is coming from Fight for the Future co-founder Holmes Wilson. The group claims that the legislation would apply to karaoke videos, footage of people dancing to music, and videos with music playing in the background. Fight for the Future is using freebieber.org to make its point. The site features digitally altered photos of police hauling Bieber away in handcuffs and the pop star in an orange jumpsuit sitting in a prison cell. The site's headline reads, "Justice Faces 5 Brutal Years in Prison." As much as some people would like to see the teen pop sensation do hard time behind bars, the point the group is trying to make is that if law were in place a few years ago, Justin Bieber would go to prison, or at least a very seedy reform school.
I'm sorry. That makes me laugh.
That is crazy. I don't like it. Seriously, people, get out there, vote. Vote these people out of office.
We keep telling you guys to vote. Get rid of them. We need people in office. Some geeks in there. That's what we need.
Yes.
To understand how this all works.
I mean, this is going to stop machinima. This is going to stop in-game videos when you're recording yourself in dungeons or raids or PvP, any of that.
Yep, you won't be able to because it'll land you in jail.
Uh-huh, yeah, all of these charity benefits where people play online and we watch them, that's going to become illegal.
Horace, boo on the bill. You should go to jail. Stop it. Stop it. Okay, so I got some good news for those of you Hulu fans out there. Are you with me, Ginger? Did I lose you, baby? You all right? You okay? Ginger.
Oh, I'm here. I'm Sicily.
Okay, I'm making sure you're all right. You
I'm
got,
still here.
I'm making sure you're all right. Y'all send your... Send your love for Ginger to Corey.
Yeah.
Especially the Microsoft points. I'll take them. All right, so... Nintendo... Yes, yeah, sure. Nintendo announced today, earlier today for us, but it's afternoon for them there in China, or probably tomorrow. I'm not really sure on the time difference. But they're announcing that its 3DS handheld and Wii console will get access to Hulu Plus, other Trova streaming TV content, before the end of 2011. That's right. We say before the end of this year. One of the most pressing issues facing streaming services like Netflix and Hulu is access. Netflix figured that out early and pushed out apps for phones, tablets, game consoles, and other connected devices. Hulu has been slightly behind with getting Hulu Plus on every imaginable device, but it's now on many phones, tablets, and consoles. The Wii is one of the most popular devices for Netflix streaming. Yes, and you thought it was the Xbox. Nope, the Wii. So it's important that Hulu is close to a launch on the console. Hulu Plus launch on the Nintendo 3DS is not as important as the introduction on the Wii, but it's still smart. 3DS hasn't seen much better sales ever since Nintendo dropped the price by 40. Oh, has seen much has not has seen much better sales ever since it dropped the price by 40% to $170. Now, while there aren't nearly as many 3DS units as other major consoles, Hulu wants as many ways as possible to use its service, while Nintendo wants to incentivize those on the fence about buying other handheld consoles when smartphones like the iPhone 4S can play pretty cool games too. To get access to Hulu Plus, considerable amount of streaming television catalog, you do have to pay $7.99 per month. Hulu takes the service away and way above what you can do on the regular Hulu by letting users watch content in HD.
Ooh.
So you can watch Hulu, of course, on connected devices like the Wii. It gives you many more episodes of TV to watch. Nintendo also used the announcement as an opportunity to tell its 3DS users that a major system update was coming at the end of November, which would enable 3D video capture.
Ooh, that's hot.
Damn. Users will be able to record up to 10 minutes of 3D video, and they can also create 3D stop motion animation videos. That is so sexy. Ooh, hands above the desk, Corey. Okay, Nintendo 3DS continues to evolve.
Oh, my God, Corey. You kill me, woman.
Oh, I think I got enough points. I may have a 3DS by the end of the weekend. I'm just going to tell y'all. I'm checking my points at GameStop. Yeah. If y'all don't hear from me, I got my Harvest Moon, and I'm in the corner. Just Ginger knows how to find me.
Yes.
I got my new ottoman, and I got my blanket. And my yarn. That's why I like my corner of my house. I will be nice and share to you guys my corner sometime over the weekend, why I love the corner so much. I have a chaise in the corner. So everything fits there. It's like the perfect place. I put my ottoman, and my ottoman doubles as a table. I can flip it over. It does a table thing.
Uh-huh.
And I can put my drinks there. And then it's a big chair, so I can put all my yarn there because y'all know I love to crochet. I can put all my games there when I'm playing the DS. And it's within reaching distance of the TV, so if I even want to sit back there and play me some games on the Xbox or watch TV, just I don't have to leave the corner. All I need is a catheter. That was a disgusting,
oh,
right?
God, Corey. kill me, woman. You kill me. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just went there. Cannot believe you just went there.
He says no more one-up Mario Marathon.
I know. And that's exactly what's going to happen, too. And this is ridiculous, people. So, yeah, get out there and vote these people out because it's just not right.
Yep. Sad.
Uh-huh.
Sad day.
All right, what do we got?
Good stuff.
More CCP talk. GamePolitics.com this morning, CCP CEO takes full responsibility for recent layoffs. Yeah, you'd better. CCP CEO Hilmar Peterson said in a recent Gemma Sutra interview that it was his responsibility to prevent layoffs at the EVE Online studio, a task he obviously failed at this week when the company announced that it would cut 20% of its employees. Peterson said in an interview to Gemma Sutra, "This is a major thing, and it's something which is my responsibility to avoid." The maker of EVE Online announced earlier this week that it had reduced its global workforce by 20%, eliminating more than 100 jobs in its home country of Iceland and in its U.S. offices. The developer acknowledged that it had spread its resources too thin on its projects. EVE Online, Dust 514, and World of Darkness. The layoffs were part of a new direction for the company to sharpen its focus on its core games. Peterson went on to say that efforts were being made by CCP to provide former employees with new jobs at other studios. Peterson says, "We are doing a lot of things. I've personally been contacted by many CEOs in the industry which have offered to help with finding employment for the people who are leaving, and that's a great thing to see. So we are connecting people with our industry friends, we are helping them with their resumes, and we are helping them to make contacts and things like that." You know what? This is what you get for calling your people sheep. This is what you get for letting a memo out that talks about how you wanted to rip them off.
Well,
this is what you get.
That's what you get.
Were the major protests in your game not enough? Did you not, the minute the whole community revolted, you should have backed up and gone back. You should have apologized. You should have taken your lashings, and instead you fought with them. And this is what has happened.
You should have taken your lashings and either gave away something really great, free month or something. You had to really kiss butt.
Yes.
Really majorly.
This is ridiculous.
I personally was not offended at all. I don't care. See, the difference between us and you is we talk bad about our people to their face. We don't hide it. But they know we love them. You know, we still talk bad to them. We talk bad to Horace all the time, but he still talks to us because he knows it's all in love. Don't you, Horace? All right. Well, for those of you who love the Orcs Must Die game, which I hear a lot of you do,
yeah.
Robot Entertainment, yes, I said it just like that, robot, so that it sounded robotic, has announced the first of two planned DLC packs for their critically acclaimed action strategy game, Orcs Must Die. You can expand your War Mage's arsenal with two new weapons, two new traps. With the artifacts of power in your spellbook, you'll be demolishing levels, beating your friends on the leaderboards, and most importantly, killing a bunch of orcs deader than dead. Only the best tools for the last surviving war mage. Deader than dead. Only the best tools for the last surviving war mage. The artifacts of Power Pack will be available on Steam for $2.49 on Tuesday, October the 25th. That is an awesome price. Once downloaded, the artifacts of power will appear in your spellbook and can be used on any level in the game. You also will have vampire gauntlets.
A vampire.
You can drain an enemy's health while healing yourself at the same time. Also, I'm giving you a brief rundown. You also have the Alchemist Satchel, which will allow you to toss deadly acid bombs that explode on command to melt flesh from the bones. The Shock Zapper.
That's not hot.
See, I, you know what? I don't think I need to be playing this. This is one of those. Remember I was playing Magicka?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, some of these spells I think look like they can be used on yourself. The Floor Scorcher, which works exactly like you think. You set the floor on fire, the people standing in it die. You also get some new traps.
Yeah, that would end up being where I'm standing.
Yes. Ginger, run! What? Crap!
So loved.
No, of course, Orcs Must Die is an action strategy game that challenges you to defend fortresses under siege with a wide variety of traps and weapons to choose from. Orcs Must Die dares players to find the best way to hack, launch, flatten, and gibletize. Or is it gibletize?
Gibletize.
Oh, that's my new word. I'm going to gibletize you. And also incinerate an endless army of filthy orcs and their vile allies. Orcs Must Die features a vibrant look, addictive gameplay, and blatant disregard for the welfare of orcs. I love these guys at Newswire. Orcs Must Die is rated T for teen by the ESRB. So you guys that are not teens should not be playing. You shouldn't even be listening to this show. You should be at school. It'll be available exclusively as a digital download. For more information, you can pop over to our site, GamingHX.com, or you can pop over to their site, OrcsMustDie.com. And we do have a trailer for you, which I will put up momentarily. I try not to look at this because this sounds like a good wintertime game. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
I can't get caught up with the orcs in the winter.
No, not so much.
It's Orcs is, or a summertime virtual thing. Yeah, summertime
orcs.
Killing.
Orcs are summertime. All right. I wouldn't have thought of them as a summertime thing, but you're probably right. Okay, sorry, I was adding the video, so let me hit save real quick. Here we go. Rovio celebrates the first anniversary of Angry Birds seasons with a new animation and Halloween episode. I hate Angry Birds, but so many of you people seem to love it, so here we go. A new bird joins the flock. Rovio Entertainment Today released a brand new episode called Ham-O-Ween for Angry Birds seasons. The new episode is accompanied by a brand new animation, and it includes a new bird character.
Stop! No more Angry Birds.
I know. The latest episode brings 30 brand new levels for Angry Bird fans, and the inclusion of the new bird adds up to a total of 8 birds in the player's arsenal. In addition to the 8 regular birds, the players also have the option to purchase the Mighty Eagle.
Why exactly? See, Romeo, just stop it.
Yeah, and there is a video which I just put up on GameAndAgeeks.com for this. Go check it out this morning if you're into it. The Halloween-themed animation stars the Bluebirds in a hilarious adventure where they are introduced to their latest companion, the Orange Bird. Rovio is planning to release more Angry Birds animations in the future through various channels. No plans or schedules for additional birds have been announced yet. Angry Birds Seasons was originally released in October of 2010. In 1 year, Rovio has provided episodic updates for the game for Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, summer, and the Chinese Mid-Autumn Festival. All right, so again, I've got this up on GameAndAgeeks.com this morning with the video. Go over and check it out.
You know what's funny?
What's funny?
Yesterday, if y'all didn't know, I was at the DMV most of the day.
Uh-huh.
And this lady comes in and sits across from me, and she pulls out her iPhone, and I'm seeing, you know, she's checking her mail, and she's making sure she's got her paperwork in order, and then I hear the Angry Birds team, and I looked at her, and I said, mm-mm.
Did you actually say
that? I did. I went, mm-mm. And she goes, I love Angry Birds. I was like, mm-mm, I'm moving if you play that. I will move down the road.
I hope you did, too.
She turned the sound off, and she played anyway, but at least I didn't have to hear, you know, I was like, oh, God, not here. No.
That game. People, why are y'all playing that? Come on.
I kid you not. I look right at her. Mm-mm.
That is so awesome.
Oh, why won't
I? I found out a friend of mine's playing RuneScape, and I was like, oh, no, you didn't. I was like, you call yourself a gamer, and you are playing RuneScape. Oh, no.
I just remember RuneScape from when G4 was actually a gamer network. when they had a little segment where they would do scenes from different games. RuneScape was one, Second Life, and God, I want to say Anarchy Online. And one of the characters' name was Dirk Ruddy, the one from RuneScape.
Uh-huh.
That's all he would say over and over. They'd say something to him, and he'd go, "I'm Dirk Ruddy." Anybody remember that?
No, thank God.
That's the only thing I remember RuneScape for, sadly. All right. Guess what?
What?
I told y'all the PSN apocalypse was not over.
Oh, no.
It's creeping back in slowly. So the PlayStation 3 has been jailbroken yet again. Do we need to repeat this, really?
Don't you remember what happened to the last guy? Come on.
This came in late in the day yesterday over Adventure Beat. Of course, the video is up on YouTube. I will not be posting that one. I don't want any parts of anything to do with it. But reports surfaced that the PlayStation 3 jailbreak titled JB2, according to Eurogamer, is up on YouTube. Rumors recently began spreading throughout Indonesia that a USB dongle was being used to play bootleg copies of PlayStation 3 games. So they contacted a Sony representative who replied saying that the company is looking into the hack and had no further comment. Of course, Sony, the maker of the PS3, has seen its fair share of security issues with its popular gaming consoles and corresponding network in mid-April of this year. You guys know what happened. They took down Sony, the PlayStation Network, for 6 weeks, leaving all of us highly pissed off, even me, who rarely plays her PS3. Of course, later on in the year, George Geohotz circumvented the security system, distributing the jailbreak software, allowing users to play unauthorized games on their PlayStation 3. Blah, 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 blah. Now, we all know that. We were all here when that happened. So the JB2 is said to be a USB drive that connects to the PlayStation 3. And when the console is rebooted, it takes on the presence of a developer device from which the dongle can then insert its code. When the process is complete, unauthorized games can be played on the machine. Games released after the 3.6 PlayStation update, however, cannot be played from the hard drive and must come in the form of a bootleg Blu-ray disc, which the machine reads as unauthorized. Confirmation of the hack comes from a gaming forum titled PS360 Crunch. According to the post, the dongle will cost about $45, with the following games available for immediate play. I love how you're listing out what games you can play. Okay, FIFA 2012, PES 2012, Driver San Francisco, God of War Origins, X-Men Destiny, and Sniper Ghost Warrior. More games are expected, as well as instructions on how to create your own disc. The hack has not yet officially been confirmed by Sony, but there is a video up on YouTube. Like I said, I will not be posting it on our site. Don't even go there. Look for it. Nah.
Well, oh, come on, people. What are y'all thinking? Do y'all not remember what happened to Geohot? He got his little smacked so hard.
I'm telling
you. He wasn't even allowed around technology, like anything with internet access for a while.
So,
I think he's working for Facebook now, but.
Didn't he get offered a job? He should be there. This is what we're saying. A lot of our brilliant people that would be Steve Jobs are too busy causing mayhem as opposed to something really good that you'll be remembered for. Anonymous, you will remain anonymous. I keep trying to explain to you all. Nobody's going to know who you are.
Yes, I mean, because y'all are so busy infighting with each other, y'all aren't really getting anything productive done. I mean, let me rephrase this. None of what y'all were doing in the first place is productive. All right. I could go off about this for hours. This whole, we're going to take down the NASDAQ and da-da-da-da-da. You're going to crash our whole economy, our country, just because you are some stupid little teeny bopper still living in your mama's basement.
Ginger's on the medication today. Oh, I forgot to, I need to throw this in. I meant to say this at the top of the news. Those of you who have Skype should probably know there's a new feature. As soon as Microsoft took over, we told you there'd be some good changes, good and bad. But right now, if you haven't installed the update, which I was holding off, you can now sign up to get yourself your own Skype telephone number.
Ooh.
Now, we will tell you what that means, but that will require you coming by the site, because I'm going to write it up, because I'm actually signing up to see if it works. But this could, I will tell you this much, some people are not going to be happy about this. And by that, I don't mean us who have Skype.
Yeah.
This is going to be juicy. Anyway, continue, Ginger. Or is it my turn again?
It's your turn.
It is not my turn.
It's my turn? It's
all right,
my turn.
It's your turn.
All right, it's my turn. It's my turn. Here we go. Pirate Party founder calls DRM toxic like lead or Freon.
What?
Yeah. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Rick Falving, founder of the Swedish and first Pirate Party, stops by Torrent Freak to offer his opinions on digital rights management. As you can probably guess, he thinks DRM should go the way of the dodo. Falving.
He's right.
Yeah. I'm probably saying this guy's name wrong, and I apologize. Falving starts by saying that after the European Greens' adoption of his party's position on DRM, he has been getting a lot of questions about why DRM should be banned. He lays out his first point with the following. He says, first of all, DRM is the type of fraud that robs citizens of their lawful rights. The copyright monopoly is chock full of exceptions that allow copying in many circumstances. DRM takes no notice of this whatsoever, but establishes and enforces a superset of restrictions that goes well above and beyond those of the law. Therefore, to begin with, a ban on DRM can be seen as a form of consumer protection. Next, he points out that even when Parliament writes laws to deal with copyright corporations, find ways. Next, he points out that even when Parliament writes laws to deal with copyright, corporations find ways to enforce their own set of rules. DRM is a tool to do just that. He says, second, it doesn't matter if Parliament writes laws, which is its job, if corporations can rewrite those laws at their own leisure with the help of technology. It is also Parliament's job to make sure that writing laws remains Parliament's job, and in particular that it doesn't bend over to the wishes of a special interest. He closes by comparing lead and Freon to DRM. He says, DRM poisons the free flow analysis, remix, and usage of information. It requires a very specific set of conditions to operate, conditions that won't exist 5 or 10 years into the future. He says, have you tried playing a 5-year-old DRM defective game? It poisons the information ecosystem.
He's right.
As the free exchange of ticks, tools, ideas, culture, and knowledge, is essential to the industry's citizen and social life of the next generation, I fully support banning a practice that outright poisons the ecosystem where this exchange needs to thrive. The Greens supported banning Freon in the early days and banning lead recently, despite both substances being good engineering, good business, and attractive end-user products. This is the way it should be, and this is why I support banning DRM. There are other concerns that take precedence in lawmaking than short-term profits. All right, so they've got the whole deal. We can read it, which is over at torrentfreak.com this morning, so go check that out.
Oh, Torrent Freak hasn't gotten shut down yet?
No. I wouldn't go there personally, but hey, if you want to read that, that's where to go.
Mean. They're next, huh? Didn't we lose Pirate Bay this week?
Yes, we did. Pirate Bay got its pee-pee smacked. It's dead.
I'm so hurt by that.
I know.
For the pirates! Okay.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, wait. I was going to say, I've not downloaded anything. No, I'm not. I'm not.
Shh. Ginger, don't say anymore. Anything you say can and will be used against you. Okay, so.
This is good tea.
Yes, it is. Tasty. All right. This is the last one before we go into non-streaming. And you guys will have to download to hear the rest. And yeah. Okay, so Dead Island, finally a patch, but it's only for the people on PC. It's been released on Steam. The headline alterations are a raised level cap to 60, new weapon blueprints, better rewards from weapon crates, and improvements made to enhance subsequent campaign playthroughs. There's also another series of improvements subsequent to playthroughs implemented, like quest XP rewards have been adjusted. XP rewards for challenges have been adjusted. XP awarded for all quests completed in co-op. Perna's ammo carrying capacity has been increased by 50%. A character state from saved game now can be loaded when using the start from chapter option. New balancing option added. Enemy levels can now be adjusted independently for each co-op player. Players respawn with more health. Lockpick skill required to open a lock is now clearly indicated. Because no, it isn't indicated. I just realized that. Improved rewards and weapons crates. All weapons crates now contain rewards. Well, I don't like that. What's the fun of everything? There being one in every crate. I like when I'm running to get one and there's nothing in it. That's fun. Players will no longer left without a weapon after dropping the equipped item and healing with a medikit. Thank you, because I was getting my butt kicked. Equipped weapons no longer swap mysteriously after drinking an energy drink. That does happen, doesn't it? Healing with medikits from inventory works much better. Makes smarter choices of medkits. Loot from dead enemies is now not always identical for all co-op players. Perna no longer finishes her fury with fists equipped. Map tracking after death. Zone info in Quarantine's zone, the city of Moresby, and respawn point selection is now smarter. Also, some general fixes are improved stability and network performances in co-op, V-Sync option added, and quest reward fixes have been implemented. So your zombies are all patched up, at least you PC people. I don't think much is going on with the other versions, so some of these things are probably still in there for me whenever I go rent it again, and I probably will rent it again maybe for Halloween. May make that a thing to do Halloween night, play some Dead Island while I make brownies and scare children. Oh, it's coming. You kids out there, oh, it's coming when you come to my house. My son is going to say all tricks and no treats here. Mm-hmm.
That is horrible. Poor kid.
Hey, you come to my house, you knock on the door, that's what you want. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to play the theme song you need to keep in your head when coming to my house. You guys know where to find us, GamerNation.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, or here on Blog Talk anytime if you just miss our voices over the weekend.
No time for goodbye, said.
Remember to download the non-streaming portion of our show. We're talking about Microsoft and their sales and all kinds of other stuff.
Oh,
no. I thought I saw Mythic was closing, but Mythic already closed. I'm crazy. It's okay.
This is my life.
Right. We still got a minute or so left on streaming, or maybe not. You know, Blog Talk is crazy. But
crazy.
But Ginger, what you got for the lovely peoples that are still able to hear us for the time being?
I've got a virtual zombie girlfriend.
No. No, no.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, God. We love these guys, right?
These are the same guys that made virtual girlfriend
and virtual
boyfriend. Oh, Lord. Surprised they haven't contacted us about it. Maybe they didn't like the smackdown they got. Snow White. Snow White was not playing around with those reviews.
No. All right, so here we go. Both my virtual girlfriend and my virtual boyfriend iPhone apps have been updated in iTunes, which now includes Zombie Girl and Boyfriend.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Wet Productions has just released a significant update to their hit iOS games. Oh, good Lord, that's such a stretch. I'm sorry. My Virtual Girlfriend and My Virtual Boyfriend, which now include zombie girlfriends and boyfriends, as well as several other improvements such as character editor and more. Both games are available on the iTunes App Store for a limited time, just for 99 cents. He said, what is this? About My Virtual Boyfriend and My Virtual Girlfriend are dating. Our dating simulation games that feature a wide cast of characters with varying personalities and physical appearances, which are not pretty. Get your virtual companion to fall in love with you is the goal of the game. This is achieved through conversation and interactions throughout the game. I know, and the creator is hot. My virtual girlfriend and my... Oh, yeah, he's following me on Twitter. Yeah, he's hot. My virtual... Oh, Lisa, thank you. My virtual girlfriend and my virtual boyfriend are universal apps that run on iPhone, iPod, Touch, and iPad. All right, so updates 1.6 includes zombie girlfriends and boyfriends, a character editor for full customization, Halloween content, more clothing options, general improvements, and performance enhancements. My virtual girlfriend and my virtual boyfriend features a unique dating system that matches you up with your ideal mate, full customization, change hair, clothing, face, color, and more, interactive dialogue, actions, activities, and by touch, over 100 actions and activities you can do together, personalities that mirror typical and often funny human behaviors, thousands of lines of clever, funny, and flirty dialogue keeping it entertaining, 3D graphics allow you to navigate the camera for 360 degrees of viewing, earn achievements and rewards, and we also have universal plays on iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. That is not universal if it does not play on my Android. Thank you.
See, that's why they're in trouble.
Yep. All right, so if you're interested in playing with my virtual zombie girlfriend or my virtual zombie boyfriend, because, you know, you want, you know, for them to chew on your brains, right? You can find that on the Apple App Store. 99 cents. Not bad. The game, however, from what we hear, is.
Well, you can read the reviews on our site if you want to get an idea of what you're in for, whether you think you'll like it or not. And Snow White did both the girls and the boys. That sounded so wrong. And she's going to cut you when she hears it.
She's not going to cut you. She's going to laugh. One of the two.
She's going to laugh while she cuts me. There we go. Okay, so those of you who love your Miis on your Wii, they're going to like this, especially if you got a 3DS. Nintendo's upcoming 3DS firmware updates are going to include updates to the Mii Plaza games. This is over from our peoples at Eurogamer. They're also going to add messaging for friends via Spot Pass and Street Pass. The company Satoru Iwata has announced. In a pre-recorded presentation just broadcast online, which for some reason we missed. Don't ask me why. Sometimes we're just busy. He revealed new levels for the Mii Plaza minigame puzzle swap, one of which is a new Donkey Kong Country Returns puzzle. I like it. Street Pass Quest gets a fresh dungeon with slimes for your Miis to battle and support for multiple Miis to attack at once for combination hits. I love it. I want to see my Miis fight. A new message service for the 3DS was also announced. Named the Nintendo Letterbox. It also allows players to exchange messages with friends via Street Pass and Spot Pass. You can add 3D photos and voice recordings as attachments. It arrives in the UK for free this December, but not to us. Sorry, kids. Sorry, American kids. NES classic Kid Icarus also gets downloadable re-release as part of the Nintendo's 3D Classics range, which bestows tweaked 3D visuals on titles of old. There's no word on a European release date yet, but Nintendo UK has separately confirmed NES title Kirby's Adventure will be getting a release in Europe on the 17th of November for just €6, I believe. They said UK, you're all right. Iwata. Iwata also showed off a range of 3DS downloadable games from Nintendo, including sword-wielding samurai game Nimble Sakura Warrior and Cowboy Armadillo.
title from Dylan's Rolling Western, the latter of which will be available in the UK next year, beginning of next year. Creature creation software Freaky Forms, Your Creations Alive, has also been revealed for European release on the 10th of November for the same price, €6. Players can create their own formies and unlock more parts by exploring the game's expansive world. Sounds a lot like Spore. Players can share their formies through StreetPass and QR codes. Mario Kart 7's online features were also detailed, many of which will be organized in a Mario Kart channel similar to the one included with Mario Kart Wii. The 3DS Mario Kart channel will collect the ghost data of people use StreetPass. Gamers can then find and then race them online. Oh, it is on. The Nintendo video service is also getting new content. In the UK, gamers will receive clips from Red Bull, Eurosport, and early next year, the promised Shaun the Sheep short films from Aardman will also become available. Yeah. Interesting. And
that's what I was thinking.
Okay, now that particular broadcast, it should be available on Ustream. That's what I was trying to remember last night. Ustream, remember we were talking about the Wii Fit and the EA Sports? Yeah, it's Ustream is where they usually host these things if you're trying to get in shape and you want to use one of the fitness games, or particularly EA Sports or fitness titles. They do have real-life trainers and people who have degrees in training and nutrition and, you know what they're talking about. And they're all hot.
Oh, really?
The one guy got down to do the push-ups, and I was like, yeah, you do that.
That is hot right there.
Oh. Do those push-ups. Boy, you do it.
Anyway. Corey, you kill me.
I'm sorry. It's one of those days.
Apparently so, but that's hot. Idea.
You do that, boy. Do that.
Yeah, all right. All the guys in the room. All right, what have we got? What have we got? Okay, here we go. GamePolitics.com this morning. GameStop UK offers BF3 for MW3 trade-in. GameStop UK has an interesting trade-in offer that will give consumers across the pond Modern Warfare 3 for £99, pennies, whatever it's little. Say. Anyways, all they have to do is buy Battlefield 3 before October 27th, then buy Modern Warfare 3 before midnight on November 7th. If consumers who bought Battlefield 3 send it back to GameStop UK before November 18th, their GameStop accounts will be refunded for MW3 minus £99, cents, whatever. Activision increased the RRP of its Call of Duty games to £54.99, whatever. With the release of Modern Warfare 2, normal games sell for RRP of $49.99, and most shops usually knock at least 10 off of that. This is precisely why Modern Warfare 3 costs $41.97 at GameStop, while Battlefield 3 costs $36.97. You can get precise instructions on how to trade in at GameStop UK. Some might consider this promotional trolling on the part of GameStop UK. The writer says, I suppose it might seem like that if you are a hardcore fan of the Battlefield series. Right, so that's just kind of...
Look here, people, they have to make their money somehow.
Yeah.
I'm not saying GameStop is always right.
This is true.
But they have to make some money somehow.
Yeah,
they
can't. They take the codes out and don't tell people?
Yeah, now see, that's bad. That is just blatantly horrible. They should not do that. Yeah. Don't take people's stuff out. That's cutting, instant cutting right there.
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right, so okay, wait a minute. I clicked on the wrong story. I was like, I got my story ready. No. Okay, so let me tell you, we've been talking about some things going on at Microsoft recently, including them purchasing Skype, but remember they were talking about how well they're doing? Well, their sales are up. Their sales are up. But the profits are down for Microsoft games business. This is according to GI.biz this morning. Microsoft's Entertainment and Devices Division, which includes its Xbox console business, recorded sales of $1.96 billion for the first quarter ended September 30th. This is up from the $1.75 billion for the same period last year. Profits, however, were $352 million, down from the $386 million in 2010. The company noted that the Xbox 360 has been the best-selling console in the U.S. for 9 months consecutive, and that it is the first that in the first quarter it launched the 3 million units selling Gears of War 3. Microsoft sold 2.3 million Xbox 360 units during the quarter, down from 2.8 million. Revenues in the games division were up due to Xbox Live sales. Now, for the entire Microsoft Corporation, revenues came in at a record $17.37 billion, up 7% on the last year, with net profits of $5.74 billion, up 6%. For the entire Microsoft Corporation, didn't I just say that? Why are y'all repeating that? This is, we saw customer demand across the breadth of our products, resulting in record first quarter revenue and another quarter of solid EPS growth. Commented Peter Klein, Chief Financial Officer at Microsoft. He says our product portfolio is performing well, and we've got an impressive pipeline of products and services that positions us well for future growth. And we, as we said last night when I was mentioning that, no, your Kinect leaves something to be desired. You got a few things I'm interested in. That dragon one we talked about last night.
Oh, yes. Definitely. That sounds kind of hot.
I would love flying on a dragon. If I am not stuck on a rail, if it flies where I want it to go. I want to lean right, and I want him to go right. If I bank hard left, he needs to bank left.
Yes. That sounds so hot, and that sounds so much fun.
Mm-hmm. So you guys, keep that in mind when you're telling us, you know, how great you are. Make it great.
Uh-huh. Yes. Make it great. All right. I totally lost my story. Let me go back. All right. Did we talk about the Xbox 360s yesterday?
We talk about them every day. What you got?
I've got Xbox 360 users without hard drives get standard deaths in Battlefield 3.
I think we touched on that, but I don't think we got deeply into it. Please do share.
All right. This is coming from GamePolitics.com. Battlefield 3 producer Patrick Bach said in a recent interview with GamerZines that high-res textures on the second disc of the Xbox 360 version of the game must be installed to a hard drive to get full graphical effect. Bach says that these textures are optional because some Xbox 360 models don't have a hard drive, whereas an installed hard drives on PS3s and PCs is the standard setup. Because of this, Xbox 360 owners will get what he refers to as standard def version of the game. He says there's nothing magic about it. It's the same thing we do for PC and PS3, so there's nothing extra. I think the controversy about this is that we actually let you do it on 360 for once. So what does it give you? So what it does is it gives you the same abilities, kind of, as the PC and PS3. You can actually stream information from the hard drive. That's new for Xbox 360, but it's not a new idea for the gaming industry as a whole. No one has really tried to do it properly, so us doing it will create question marks. The thing is with the 360 is that you need to be able to give consumers a game where you don't have to install it on a hard drive, because there are 360s without a hard drive. So we need to give you the option of installing it rather than just demanding it. You could call it a standard def version for the 360 if you don't have a hard drive. Bach is adamant that installing the textures for the Xbox 360 version of the game creates a noticeable difference to the visual quality of the game. He says it does make a difference. Yes, absolutely. The whole engine is based around streaming textures, streaming terrain, and a whole lot of other content. It's not the engine that demands it, but that it has the ability to create a more detailed experience. We can't use more memory of the actual machine itself. We need to flush that memory with new information depending on where you are in the game. He goes on to say that the high-res texture information is streamed in and out of memory at all time, giving players a more detailed, varied, and vivid experience on all platforms. So I'm guessing what they're saying is if your Xbox 360 doesn't have a hard drive, it's not going to be as pretty as those people who have Xbox 360s with hard drives and, you know, PS3s and PCs. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes, let me shorten it for you. Na-na-na-na-na. Okay, and with that, it is time for us to say bye-bye. We'll miss you.
Bye.
There is no show on the weekends. I have to say this every Friday, but somebody's going to text me anyway because you just like to wake me up. I think it's a game now. Let's see how many times we can wake Corey up.
Yeah, because people, I'm not waking up in the morning. No, or I will wake up in the morning. Let me rephrase this. I'm not waking up early. It's not happening. No. And if anybody's out there listening who thinks I am, you are crazy.
All right, you got less than 2 weeks before Pixinista. So make sure.
Yay! And I got a cute outfit for Halloween.
Ooh. So make sure you, if you don't have a Second Life account, drop by our site. Follow the link. Sign up for one. It's free, people. Free.
It is.
And if you want to spend money, $20. Ginger will take you around and fix it. Look, notice I said I throw it on Ginger. Ginger will take you around and fix you.
Ginger will give you a whole set of line marks. But she might. Depending on if she's free, she might take it back.
Okay, we'll see you guys Monday.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!